as you probably know, there were a lot of sightings of UFOs lately. And Pentagon has recently released their data that was classified till now about all the official records they have on what they cannot explain by anything that they know. Objects that move faster than they think is possible, in a direction which they think is impossible, or they do things which are really out of this world. Keeping this in mind, imagine that right here, at the corner of Old Pimlico and Smith, lands a UFO. And out there comes a green alien. Here you go. Hello. So now, this green alien is seeing you, looking at all of you, and he is asking you, you guys are human? You are people? That's cool. Could you please tell me more about your species? Like, who are you? What would you tell him? Like, you walk into a pet store and you say, well, I want to buy a pet, but I don't know which one. So the worker in the pet store is going to be telling you about like personalities and what can you expect of every pet. Cats are this way, dogs are that way. So what can you expect from a human? Can humans be trusted? Are humans good or bad? How would you describe a human? Bad. Okay, very good. Why do you think they're mostly bad? Tell me. Okay, very interesting. We're going to talk about that. That's a very good point. Humans are selfish and that's why they're bad. Excellent. Anybody else has any other ways of describing us humans? That's much more positive view, by the way. We build things and we remember things. That's cool. There are different ways of looking at a human. Some believe that humans are good. We are born good. Just we become bad because of various external factors. So in other words, people are born as something positive. And you know, people say somebody's innocent like a baby or pure as a child. Babies are innocent and pure. Babies are sincere. Babies are good. And unfortunately, throughout our lifetime, we collect negative influences and we become sometimes not so good, sometimes very not good. Every computer sooner or later is gonna have a bug in it. Every phone is gonna malfunction. Why? Things happen. So just like a phone, when you buy it brand new, it's good, and then eventually something happens to it. Same thing with humans. That's one way of looking at it. Another way of looking at it is just like Ari mentioned, maybe we are actually born bad. These humans are born bad, terrible, selfish. And unless you teach them something good, they're gonna be like animals in the jungle, killing each other and eating each other for lunch. That's another way of looking at it. So in other words, there's a way of looking at it saying that humans are bad, they're born bad, but you could make them into good. And then they're gonna become good. And then there is yet another way, a third way of looking at it, that says that we are irredeemably bad. Humans by nature are always bad, and that's why they need to be controlled. And unless they're controlled, unless you have police in the street that's gonna make people fearful of doing the wrong things, people are never gonna be good. So in other words, there are views that say people are really not capable of becoming essentially good. The only thing you can do is control them to make sure that they will not misstep. But as soon as you look the other way, what's the saying? Yeah, when cat is away, mice will play. Now, I want to ask you a question. Which one of these three theories do you think are more correct? There's three. There's one that we are born good, but we become corrupt throughout our life. There's one that we are born bad, but we can be reprogrammed to become good. And the third one is that we are bad and we will always be bad. The only thing which you can do is force us to do the right things under pressure to do something positive. But essentially, we'll never become good. The first one, that we are good and we become bad over our lifetime. What do you think? Good and we become bad. Yeah, babies steal. Babies take other babies' food, toys. Yeah. Okay, so they don't know better means that they were not taught. So you have to teach them. So generally speaking, these three worldviews actually are the three worldviews of three major approaches to life. The first one is the modern liberal approach that people on their own will always be good. And if you see people doing something wrong, it is because some influence that was exerted over them. For example, the whole idea of poverty creates crime. If these people would not be poor, they would not become criminals. Why are they criminals? Because they are poor. Or the whole thing about terrorists are doing all these terrible things because they feel no hope in the future and because they don't have anything else that they can rely on. These terrorists, had they had a sense of hope, they would not be terrorists. The whole idea of Karl Marx, that people are greedy because of money, which means that if we'll take away money, people will not be greedy anymore. People are greedy only because of some outside influence, which is, in this case, money. So you see that this is the approach of one worldview. Then there is another worldview that says that people are bad and they're irredeemably bad and they will always be bad. And that's the approach of most of Christian schools of thought. That's why they believe in original sin, that we are sinners, we are born sinners, we're going to die sinners, and people are always bad. The only thing we can do is repent. We have to be in a constant state of repentance for all the bad things that we did, and we did bad things since we were born, and that's it. That's another approach. The third approach is the approach of majority of the modern secular world that tells us that really people are born bad. They are not taught how to behave properly. But if you will teach them how to behave properly, they could be reprogrammed. And this is why in the modern secular world, so many people say that, oh, education makes people better. If we will send people to college, then they're going to be better humans. We need to give people hope. We need to give people tools in life. And if they have all of that, then they're going to become better people. Then they're going to become good. So these are the three different schools of thought, which are pretty easy to identify around us. Well, guess what? Kabbalah, Jewish mysticism, disagrees with all three. Now, the point of view of Kabbalah, the idea of Jewish mysticism, which is based, the books of Kabbalah start from Raziel HaMalach, according to some opinions, was written by Abraham. According to some, he even did not write it, but he received it from Adam, the first human. But calling it a book is a little bit of a stretch. The whole book of Raziel HaMalach is like, if you'll print it out, it's going to be less than one page. But that's the first text of Kabbalah we have. And then we have the probably most famous book of Zohar, and then we have Sefer Yetzirah, Sefer Briah, and many, many other books on Kabbalah. And they talk to us about Jewish spirituality, which means that our world, which is not perceived by human eye. If you can measure it in any shape or form, it's not spirituality, because we can sense only physical things. So that's why whenever people were telling me that they were trying to weigh soul, well, if there's something there to weigh, it's not a soul. If it's soul, it has no weight. If somebody tells you that your soul is green, don't believe them. Your soul has no color. So in other words, we have here a point of view from the vantage point of our souls. So now I want to ask you a question. When we are born, we have a soul. But we are not the only ones who have a soul. Everything has a soul. This table has a soul. Animals have a soul. Stones have a soul. What does soul mean? Soul means the force that makes it be there the way it is. I am the way I am because this is how my soul made me. This is how my soul makes me be here. And stone, obviously, stone has a very different soul from mine, at least that's what I hope. Stone is the way it is because that's his soul. That's his lively force. So, we humans are born with a soul that's making us alive. This is the soul that makes us alive. It's called lively soul, or in Kabbalistic terminology, it is also called an animalistic soul. Why it's called an animalistic soul? Because it makes us being alive just like animals are. Animal wants to eat, an animal wants to sleep, a human also wants to eat, a human also wants to sleep. An animal wants to have comfort, I also want to have comfort. That's my animalistic soul. Now, I want to ask you a question. Is an animalistic soul bad or is it good? What do you think? Neither. Why neither? Why do you think it cannot do anything good? So the thing is that our animalistic soul could do things out of desire of, let's say, self-preservation. So it could decide what is better to do for its self-preservation. Why? Because animals do that too. An animalistic soul could be doing bad things, because animals sometimes do bad things. If you have a dog that's gonna destroy someone's property, that's what dogs do. Not even for food, but just kill. An animal could do bad things, but an animal could do very good things also. Animals are loyal. Animals could save other animals. Animals could even save humans. Animals are capable of loving. They could love other animals. They could love humans. Animals are a lot of times appreciative. Not every animal, maybe not even often, but at least you see that. You see an animal being thankful, you see an animal being loyal, you see an animal being loving. So you have our human nature, which is just like an animal, and we are also capable of all of these things. We are capable of being loving, loyal, friendly. We could save people, we could help people, we could save animals, we could help animals, all because of this animalistic soul. So now, is this animalistic soul good or bad? So the answer is, this animalistic soul can do good things, can do bad things. So then, what is the other component? We have an animalistic soul, is that it? That's what we have? You probably know that Kabbalah is teaching us that we actually have two souls. We have two souls, and we have one soul, which is our animalistic soul, and then we have our second soul, which is called our godly soul. Now, but one second, what does godly soul do what our animalistic soul cannot? What is missing? What is there that we are not capable of if we don't have this godly soul? What is it that we are lacking if we have only an animalistic soul? I'll give you a hint. This is ice cream. I love ice cream. Let me ask you a question. Do I really love ice cream? If I love ice cream and I eat it, then you probably don't want to be someone who I will love, because if I eat those who I love, then you will be in danger if I love you. I don't love ice cream. I eat it. I destroy it. I devour it. When I take ice cream, I don't love ice cream. I love myself, and I love what ice cream does to me. So we say that we love ice cream. We don't really love ice cream. We love ourselves. When I say, I love my car, I bought a new car, I love it. Do I love the car? No, I love myself. I love riding in it. I love the features it has. And I don't love the car. Now, let me ask you a question. When I tell you that I love this person, what love is it? So the answer is, sometimes it could be very selfish love. Why? Because I love what this person does to me. I love his sense of humor. I love the way he treats me. I love that he is smart. I love that he is cool. I love that he is helping me whenever I need help. I could love a lot of things about him. So I don't love him. I love myself. No. And this is all based on our animalistic soul. Why? Because within this world, we all are based on what's more beneficial for us. Everything what we do is only looking at what is better for me. But then there is also a godly soul. And this godly soul, what is allowing us to be altruistic. This godly soul is what is allowing us to be selfless. Now, what does it mean to be selfless? We very often use the word selfless very loosely. When I say it was a selfless act, We have people who do heroic acts. People sacrifice their lives. Terrorists blow themselves up. Are they also selfless? The guy is promised 72 virgins. Is he being selfless? No, he wants the virgins. Giordano Bruno, he was saying that the world is round, and he was caught by the church, and the church told him that unless he's going to publicly denounce his beliefs about the world being round, they're going to burn him alive. And he refused to denounce his beliefs, and he was burned at a stake. Was he selfless? It was for sure a heroic act, but was it a selfless act? Well, in the secular world today, people very often think that our lives is the most precious what we have. And that's why whenever someone is giving up his life for something, it's called selfless. Well, I've got news for you. Very often, our lives is not the most precious thing that we have. Sometimes his family members could be more important than his own life. His ideology could be more important than his own life. For Giordano Bruno, his belief in science was more important than his own life. Is it heroic? It's heroic. Is it selfless? It's not selfless. He had a choice, either to give up his belief and stay with his life, or to give up his life. He made a choice. Sometimes people do this, some people do that. That's it. It's not selfless. Selfless is something that we do with total disregard for our own benefits. That's what selfless is. And that's what our godly soul is allowing us to have. So in other words, people can do great things without godly soul. People give very big donations for purely selfish reasons. If a guy wants to become famous, he's going to give $1 million to build a new hospital. Now, I got news for you. He even said that he does it just because he wants his name to be written there with big letters. But was it a good act? Sure, it was a good act. Thanks to him, people can be healed now, and they weren't able to be healed before. So is being selfish bad? No. Being selfish could be good, could be bad. It's natural. That's what the Torah says. That's what Kabbalah believes, that being selfish could be good, could be bad, but it can never be godly. And this is the difference. Godly soul is called godly soul because we humans are the only ones who were created with a two-step process. When God was creating the world, everything was created with just one utterance that God said. God said, let there be this, and this came about. Let there be this and that came about. And then God created a human by first making his body, and his body had his animalistic soul, just like everything else does. And then God blew the soul into him. When you blow something, you blow from within yourself, from inside of yourself. That's the closest metaphor we can find to giving something from within yourself. So God gave a part of himself to us humans. So we now have this world where everything can be run on pure animalistic desires. The world could live, function. It could be good, just world. People could make a just society. Why? Because they want to live in a just society for their own benefit. People can make laws which are going to be fair and honest for animalistic soul reasons. People can give donations and be generous because of their animalistic soul. People could be loyal, just like animals are loyal, because of their animalistic soul. People could be loving. It's all possible. This world will be a wonderful world, just without godliness in it. And the only way to bring godliness is by using this ability to forget about yourself, put yourself to the side, and bring it down here. So next time we're going to be talking more about what it means for us practically, but for now, I just want to end with a little story about Freud. Sigmund Freud, his Hebrew name was Shloime, he called himself godless Jew. He believed he was an atheist, and he made the purpose of his life to find what's inside of a human being. He wanted to know what drives us, what compels us to do what we do, what is in charge of us. And he started digging. And what did he found? He found a pretty nasty picture. He found greed, lust. He found all kind of selfish desires, which are true. But you see, when you are trying to find diamonds, you need to dig inside the ground. And first, you see layers and layers and layers of dirt and dirt and then more dirt. And only then you get to a diamond. So it is said about the Alter Rebbe who wrote a book, Tanya. He wanted to also find what drives a person. He embarked on the same mission. And guess what? He dug deep enough to find a diamond. And this diamond is the godly soul. So in other words, now if we are going to come back to the original question that we were proposed when we were talking to our green-faced alien who landed here at the corner. Who are humans? Are humans bad or humans good? Were humans born good and they can become something different? Were humans born bad and they'll be bad their whole life? What's going on? So we tell them humans have two sides to them. Each human has two sides to him and he can at any moment choose which of his sides he's going to be using. And you can never get rid of one of these sides. And it is quite interesting that the Alter Rebbe in the book of Tanya says that this battle is continuing a person's whole life. And it's noteworthy that most of other religions are coming to people and they're promising them peace and tranquility. If you will follow us, you're going to attain inner peace and you're going to be calm and you're going to feel inner balance, right? What does Jewish mysticism say? You have two souls that are pulling you in different directions every single second of the day. Get used to it. You'll never have peace. We'll help you to navigate it. We're going to teach you how to make sure that you are able to accomplish what you want to accomplish. We're going to help you deal with the situation, but don't expect to come to a place where you'll have a total peace, because if you don't have any inner struggles, then either you are a completely righteous person or you are completely the other way. That's the gist of our understanding of what a human is. That's what at least I would tell our green-faced alien. Next time, next Monday, we're going to talk more about the practical side of what it means for us to have these two souls and how do we navigate.